Lord, we want to ask that we would know you speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're about to enter week 5 of the current lockdown. We're about to enter month 12 of living under restrictions. How are you doing? That's the question I've been asking quite a lot this week. How are you doing? And to be honest, I've got fairly similar replies. Tired. Weary. I think the comment that struck me most was somebody said to me, it just feels like there's constantly a kind of downward drag on how we're feeling. You know, just a sense of there's something just pulling us down. We so want to be able to talk to people. You know, we so want to be able to praise God. You know, just talking to somebody who's just saying, it's now just beginning to hit me. I've not seen my family for 6-9 months. It's hard, isn't it? My soul is downcast within me, says the psalmist. And my guess is we may know how he feels. How do we cope with that? Over the next few weeks until just before Easter, we're going to look at this section of Psalms, Psalms 42 all the way through to 49. They're a definite block. They're pulled together by the sons of Korah, who probably were musicians in the temple. And we'll notice a range of themes. If you're thinking, oh, good grief, just 8 miserable psalms. No, there's quite a range. We've got a wedding coming up in a few weeks' time. But they are, many of them, it seems, particularly relevant to our present circumstances. And my hope is that they will enable us to engage with God in the midst of our present situation. Now, we're looking at Psalms 42 and 43 together this morning, and that's because almost certainly originally they were one psalm. If you look through the Psalms 42 to 49, they all have a similar title, that they're by the sons of Korah, except for Psalm 43. Psalm 43 doesn't have a title, and that's probably because it was just the continuation of Psalm 42. In addition, you find a repeated chorus that runs through both psalms. So it's there in verse 5 of Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And it's there in Psalm 42, verse 11, and it's exactly the same in Psalm 43, verse 5. It's one psalm, almost certainly, brought together with a repeated chorus and a similar situation. So what's going on? You know, why is the psalmist so downcast? Well, there are essentially 3 paragraphs where he talks about his situation before you get the chorus that comes up again. It starts with the psalmist being desperate to meet with God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Here's his situation. He's desperate to meet with God. And it seems the reason he's desperate to meet with God is, well, because he's away from home. Verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So it seems that the psalmist, he's away from the temple. He's not able to go with the crowds to meet with God. He's away from home. Now, there are various possibilities as you look through the Old Testament. You perhaps think of David towards the end of his reign when there's a coup with Absalom and David is forced to flee and he's far from home. Or you get the exiles when they're taken to Babylon and again they can't go to the temple to worship God. Could be those situations, could be a completely different one. But you sense the situation. He can't go and worship God with God's people. And you might think that feels pretty relevant at the moment. Yeah, maybe you are sitting at home. And we're so grateful for the technology, but let's be honest, it's not the same, is it? You know, it's not the same as being able to gather with God's people, talk to them, praise God together. And, well, it's great that many of us are here, but looking out, probably I wouldn't use the phrase festive throng to describe us at the moment. You know, as we sit with our masks and silently during the songs and we're all distanced. I mean, it's lovely to see you, but festive throng? It's painful, isn't it? I have to be honest, I cannot wait until the time when I can stand here, look out in the crowd and say, hey, let's stand and praise God. I cannot wait for that day. It's painful. And what these psalms do is that they encourage us that God's people have been here before. Here, actually, you have a psalmist who wants to be amongst the festive throng, and for whatever reason, it's probably not a pandemic, but for whatever reason, he can't. And we see how he responds. It is painful. He wants to meet with God, and the lack of that reduces him to tears in verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. And what seems difficult is that he's desperate to meet with God. He's away from home. He can't meet with God. And well, God doesn't seem to be doing very much. People are saying to me, where's your God? Why you worship this God? And yet somehow your situation isn't great. And it doesn't really look as if he's doing anything. And he's mocked and taunted. Why isn't your God doing anything? And so that's the situation, away from home and yet desperate to meet with a God who, well, doesn't seem to be working very much at the moment. And then you get the second paragraph from verse 6 to verse 10. And again, it starts with that heading, my soul is downcast within me. There's a sort of a depression almost about him. In verse 10, we discover that there are physical symptoms. My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me. And so physically and emotionally, the psalmist is just down. And again, he's got people taunting him. You know, people who don't worship God saying, what's God doing? Why isn't he acting for you? And then perhaps you have the most powerful image of all. In some ways, the reason we've got our graphic for this series, the most powerful image of all is in verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. And it's almost as though the psalmist sort of emotionally can imagine himself sort of bobbing up and down. You're in the waves, almost with a kind of waterfall, and he's bobbing up and down, because of what it seems that God is doing to him. And you get that huge sense of up and down as you look at verses 8 and 9. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. That sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, you know, it's difficult, I'm away from home, but it's wonderful. You know, the Lord is directing his love to me. What confidence he's got. I say to God, my rock, verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Oh, do you see the ups and downs? I'm not sure, actually, I can find anywhere else in Scripture where there is such a difference between two verses. At one moment, the Lord is directing his love. The next moment, why has God forgotten me? But my guess is if you're a Christian, you'll know something of that. You'll know the ups and downs that we sometimes go through. C.S. Lewis, actually, who talks about the law of undulation. You know, how often as Christians there can be moments where we're full of confidence, and yet even almost a few hours later there can be, I feel deserted by God, I don't know where God is. And my guess is we will know something of that at the moment. As I say, I've been asking people how they've been getting on. Sometimes people have asked me, Andy, how are you coping with lockdown? And my honest answer is this, it depends which day you ask me. Yeah, some days actually there'll be a sense of, it's fine actually, you know, I'm enjoying spending time with the Lord, it's been nice going for walks with people. Yeah, some days it's fine. Other days there's just, I so want this to end quickly. Ah. I'm not saying that to panic you, I think that's just quite normal actually. The sort of ups and downs we go through, even the ups and downs we sometimes feel in our relationship with God. And so you get the situation, the psalmist away from home, desperate to get back to God's people, desperate to meet with God. You see some of the turbulence that he goes through, the sort of occasionally it feels like his head is above the waves and occasionally he's drowning. And then you get Psalm 43. And here you have the enemies coming more strongly into view. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. And again, maybe you do think of David. You know, all the people seem to be flocking towards Absalom, and well, they've not been faithful to him. Or maybe you think of the godly believer in the midst of exile. They're in Babylon because they've sinned. Or maybe they're just away from home in a nation that doesn't recognize God, and they're feeling attacked and persecuted. And as a result of it, well, the psalmist is deeply discouraged. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And maybe we feel that at times. You know, maybe the thing that sometimes drains us if we're Christians is just the reality of living in a culture that has got no time for God. And that's what wearies us. You know, if ever there was a time when, frankly, we should be pleading before God for mercy, it's this. And yet we know by and large that hasn't been the reaction. And just constantly trying to live for God when we're surrounded by a culture that doesn't. And God doesn't really seem to be doing very much about it. Oh, that can be hard. Again, that can be wearying, and the psalmist does feel weary. And yet at the same time, there is also confidence. Again, the ups and downs that we've seen. He prays, send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. A confidence that one day he will return to God's holy mountain where God lives. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. So he's away from home and he's finding that desperately hard, and yet somehow the confidence doesn't leave him that one day he will be back with God's people praising him. And so there you have the psalm. And my hope in talking through the situation that it seems to reveal is that there will be encouragements for us there. Living in a hostile culture, yeah, the psalm knows about that. Going through days which are good and days which are bad, yeah, the psalm knows about that. Being desperate to be back praising God with a festive throng, yeah, the psalm knows about that as well. Here's a word that empathizes with us, that speaks into our situation. But if you think about it, it's not just the psalmist who can empathize with us. Jesus can sing this psalm as well. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. Oh, that's the psalmist, but it's Jesus as well. If you think about it, think about the range of emotions Jesus must go through in that last week. Palm Sunday, festive throng, singing Psalm 118 together. Gethsemane, all alone. The cross, my God, why have you forgotten me? Well, this is a psalm that Jesus can empathize with just as much as the psalmist can, and just as much as we can. It's a useful way, I think, actually, of understanding the psalms. That basically, as you work through the psalms, what you find is the psalmist's story becomes Jesus' story, becomes our story. It's encouraging for us. It means we can use the psalms because they are our story, and they're Jesus' story as well. And you find that in this psalm. And so here's the encouragement. We have words that both empathize with us and help us to see the way in which Jesus empathizes with us. But in addition, we do find ways in the psalm to deal with our situation, to deal with the downward drag of our souls. Words for the times when our souls do feel downcast within us. Two things. Firstly, the psalm encourages us to talk to God. To talk to God. Yeah, as we've seen, as we go through the psalm, the psalmist kind of has a bit of a mixed relationship with God. At times, deeply confident in God. At other times, massively confused about God. And yet, for all the mixture of confidence and confusion, the one thing he never stops doing is talking to God. Do you notice it's there at the beginning? I'm panting for God. I'm desperate for God. You're like somebody who's thirsty, or like an animal that's thirsty. I'm panting, desperate for God. I'm desperate to meet with God. Is how the psalmist starts. Just notice the language of verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. I think that's a great definition of prayer in many ways. It's pouring out our souls to the Lord. And that's what the psalmist is doing. Pouring out his deepest thoughts to God. Yet verse 8, a prayer to the God of my life. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock. And essentially the first few verses of Psalm 43, they're just prayer. Vindicate me, plead my cause, rescue me, send me your light, let them bring me to your holy mountain. And so in the midst even of his confusion, even in the midst of the times when he's drowning, here is the psalmist who goes to God. And again, doesn't it remind us of Jesus himself? My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Or even in the agony of the cross, my God, my God. The temptation at the moment, I think, is to draw back from God. And here the psalmist and the Lord Jesus, well, he encouraged us to keep going back to him. Oh, I can't be with the festive throng at the moment, but I can go to God and plead with him and cry out to him. And of course, if you think about it, what was it, 2 weeks ago? We're in John chapter 7. Anyone's thirsty, let them come to me and drink. And here, if you like, you have the psalmist who's desperate, desperately thirsty, panting like a deer. And it seems to me it's not just that Jesus can sing this song, he's also the answer to this song. Thirsty, wondering how he can meet with God, come to me, Jesus says. Come to me and drink deeply of me. It's C.S. Lewis who puts it like this. He speaks about the law of undulation going up and down, but he says this, it's often the prayers offered in the state of dryness that are those that please him best. Oh, you know, it's wonderful, life's going well, and we turn that into thanksgiving. That is wonderful. And yet often true faith is shown in that ability to trust the Lord and cry out to the Lord and drink of the Lord when all else has been taken away. I desperately want this period of time to end, but I also want to learn the lessons from it. And it seems to me the lessons are to be able to empathize with psalms and experiences like this, perhaps in a way that's different from normality. And to learn what it means to keep going to the Lord and drinking of the Lord when so much else has been removed. And if we will learn those lessons from this time, there will be useful experiences to take us through the rest of life. You see, in the end, true Christian living will be shown by thanking the Lord in the good times and panting for the Lord in the bad times and being desperate for Him and going to Him. Talk to God. But then secondly, and this isn't a sign of madness, this psalm teaches us to talk to ourselves. Talk to yourself. You see, I've missed out the chorus. The chorus that is, if you like, the heartbeat of this psalm. Verse 5, verse 11, and verse 5 again. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. Now, many of the psalms are addressed to God. And we've seen that here, haven't we? We've seen the repeated talking to God that's in the psalm. Lots of psalms are actually us talking to other people. We'll get that later on in the series in Psalms 47 and 49. It's primarily actually the psalmist talking to others. But other psalms are basically the psalmist talking to themselves. I didn't know he was going to do this. Phil used the end of Psalm 103 earlier on. Actually, Psalm 103 is largely a psalmist talking to himself. Praise the Lord, my soul. Forget not all His benefits. Hey, soul, I'm talking to you. And that's what you get here in the chorus. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? This is basically the psalmist talking to himself. And it's a vital lesson. There was a really famous sermon preached on this psalm. It's by the great 20th century preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones. It's the first chapter in his book, Spiritual Depression. And in it, he makes this important point. One of the great dangers in the Christian life is when we spend all our time listening to ourselves. You know how it is? You kind of wake up in the morning. You've got all kinds of doubts and fears and uncertainties and questions going round and round and round your head, and you just kind of listen and absorb the questions going round and round and round in your head. And he says, using Psalms 42 and 43, when that's happening, the thing you need to do is say, stop, I'm going to talk to myself. Rather than listening to myself, I'm going to actually talk to myself. And I'm going to ask this question, why are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? You see, what happens when the thoughts are swirling around our heads is that we tend to focus on all the things that are wrong, all the things that are difficult, all the things that are painful in our lives. And my guess is many of us will have them. And yet what we also do is the thoughts are swirling and we're listening to ourselves is we also forget the benefits that we have. Forget the realities of what God brings into our lives. Just personally, I've begun to find this quite helpful as I just sort of tempted to turn over all the reasons life is difficult. Occasionally, I just have to say, Andy, hang on, Andy, why are you so down when actually there are still so many reasons for praise? Why are you living as though God is not real? Why are you living as though you don't have a glorious hope for the future? And that's what's going on here. Oh, there are reasons why the psalmist's soul is downcast, but he just stops himself and says, hang on, there are still reasons for praise. Put your hope in God. And that's profoundly relevant to us. Because if you're a Christian listening to this here this morning, if you're a Christian, whatever else is going on in your life, you have a reason for hope. Whatever else is happening, because Jesus Christ has died and is risen and is coming back, you always have a reason for hope. You always have confidence that you will go to the altar of God, to God your joy and delight, and you will praise Him forevermore. That's the hope we always have, even in the darkest times. because we will be with him forever. There will come a day when we will stand together and praise the Lord. I hope it'll be sometime this year. It'll certainly be for eternity. And that's why we can say, put your hope in God. Because he is in control. He is working his purposes out. We will be with him forever. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. One of my great desires is that as Christians, we will cope with the present circumstances better than those who aren't Christians. And I don't say that to make us feel guilty about how we're handling it. There are reasons why we're finding this hard. And nothing I'm about to say says, hey, we love lockdown. It's hideous. We hate it. But for the Christian, lockdown is not the only word. I have a hope. There is something to cling on to. And so I wonder whether we can be a people who start talking to ourselves slightly more, who will say, yeah, we're desperate to be together as a church again. But in the meantime, I will talk to God and drink of him. And I will put my hope in him and hold on to the hope that I've got for the future. Because one day we will praise him, our Savior and our God. Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet. So I wonder what the Lord's been saying to you. Maybe it is just, Lord, I've stopped talking to you. Help me to be like that deer that pants for you, the streams of living water. Or it might be we just want to take ourselves in hand and say, don't just dwell in the reasons to be downcast. Put your hope in God. Just a moment of quiet and then I'll pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that hope can never be taken away from us. Thank you, Lord God, that we have a glorious, wonderful hope for the future. Thank you that the Lord Jesus has said that he is preparing a place for us. Thank you that one day we will be with the most festive of throngs in your place, in your house, forever and ever. Lord, we look forward to that day. And so we pray that in the midst of the downward drag that we so often feel at the moment, we would bring our prayers to you and we would put our hope in you, our Savior and our God. And we ask that for your name's sake. Amen.